This is the Web Strategies Podcast, a program dedicated to the technology and techniques of marketing your business on the Internet. This program with program notes and links is found on our show website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com. And now, the host of the Web Strategies Podcast, Internet marketing expert, Tom Anthony.
Thank you, Joe Cipriano, and welcome to the Web Strategies Podcast. Today's episode is it's about twice as long as we've normally presented because it's actually the audio from a seminar that I conducted yesterday in Hampton, Virginia, for the Virginia Peninsula Chamber of Commerce for the professional network website called LinkedIn. So let me tell you the story. This past weekend, I took a few days to travel up to the Blue Ridge Mountains in western North Carolina to experience fall foliage up there. By the way, there's a really beautiful picture that I took of sunrise over Mount Pisgah that's on the Companion website if you're interested. If you're listening to this podcast from the website, because you can listen to the podcast either going to the website or by subscribing in iTunes. But if you're listening to it from the website, obviously you've already seen that picture. Yes, I took it. I'm proud of it. But that's really God's country. All I did was snap it and get a snapshot of what beauty is already provided for us up there. So if you ever get a chance to go out that way, Mount Pisgah, and nice place. Walls are a little thin, but the view is unbelievable. Anyway, while I was up there, I got a call from a longtime colleague of mine, Chandler Turner, and you may recognize that name. Chan's been a guest on more than one of these podcasts, and he let me know that a presenter who had a scheduled seminar on LinkedIn had to cancel out because of a personal family emergency. He wanted to know if I could help him deliver a two-hour masterclass in LinkedIn. Well, I had to think about it, but I felt convinced that I could come up with the material even on short notice and give those who were attending a value for their money. So what you're about to hear is an unedited audio track from a video that I recorded at the event. I mostly took the video so I could see myself, not because I'm so enamored with that, but just so I could observe my style, make sure that I wasn't putting my hands in my pockets too much and what kind of hand motions I was getting, just to self-critique to improve the way that I conduct those seminars. But I decided the audio came out okay. So even though I intend to post an edited version with the slides that I use that you'll hear me referencing in the podcast, I thought you would possibly get some good benefit out of listening to this seminar. So here it is, and I hope you enjoy the seminar, which was entitled LinkedIn, the Crash Course.
First of all, thank you everybody for coming out and joining us today. Chan called me while I was out of town up in the beautiful mountains of western North Carolina, almost all the way to Tennessee. It was gorgeous this weekend up there. I said, hey, you think you could do something on LinkedIn? And because social networking is one of the specialties for my company, I felt it was going to be not really a problem. I know that you guys pay for this, so I wanted to be very aware that I was going to give you a value for being here today. So I did quite a bit of preparation yesterday and today. But anyway, so I'm Tom Anthony, president of IMS Strategic Internet Marketing. This is Chandler Turner, who is an associate of mine and the president of Accurate Business Communications. And there's our picture.
Aww.
We're not actually standing together. That's Photoshop.
Might have to ruin the
Tom took my picture. I took his picture. He's got all the equipment.
And in case you're wondering, yes, Chandler and I are linked. And to give you an idea of what I mean is I'm a member of, I have an account at LinkedIn. So does Chandler. So through LinkedIn, I asked Chandler if he would connect with me. He said yes. And that makes, where you see the first, that means that we are directly connected. If it was a friend of a friend, it would be second or third or something like that. So we're certainly practicing what we preach. Now, the talk today covers what LinkedIn actually is. We'll talk about how it works and in some detail. We'll talk about what you can do with it. And there's a really large variety of things that different needs that LinkedIn fills in the professional world that I think that you'll find interesting. What are the best ways to use it? Pretty subjective, but I'll give you my opinion, and I do work with it all the time. What else do you need to know? And after that, I'm going to turn it over to Chandler for an extended period, and he's going to talk about content. And the subheading of his section is called "The Wave of the Future is Now," except for that's a joke that you'll get when he gets there. So it's not really the name of it. It's just how he starts it off. And then we'll end with questions and answers. And we are both from the other side of the bridge, so, you know, at 4 o'clock, if you guys want to hold us over and ask whatever questions you want, I'm sure that I'm not going any place in a hurry, so there's not really a time limit on the end of that. As long as you guys want to stay and chat, I'll be happy to. And also, just so that you guys are comfortable and you know, don't worry about getting up. You don't have to say, excuse me, you've got to get up and go, just, you know, go. If you have a question in the middle, stop and ask. It's really not a formal presentation. And the way that, I know I can speak for both of us on this, the way that we operate is stop us, ask questions. If it's not an appropriate time to really illuminate the answer, we'll come back to it. But we certainly welcome your questions and your participations. And I think that 2 hours in this room will all feel a lot better if we can have that kind of interchange and that kind of interactivity. So with that, I'll start with what it is. What's LinkedIn? LinkedIn is a professional social network, and there are other kinds of social networks, personal and professional. Some are really just for photographs, like Flickr or Picasa, which is owned by Google. But the ones that I think that you'll be most familiar with are the three big ones, which is Facebook, Twitter, and Plaxo, which is kind of an older version of LinkedIn. It was a little bit before LinkedIn, and it's kind of down in usage. But Facebook and Twitter, I'm pretty sure everybody in the room has heard of. Those are more social networks. Facebook's becoming so popular now that I think that it's fair to say that it's being used almost as much for business as it is for really sharing with your aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters what you're up to in a different state, which is really what it was in the beginning. And I'll have some more information about some of the other social networks a little bit later on in the presentation. Plus, if you have any questions about any of the other ones, I'll be happy to answer them. They have a lot of different buckets in LinkedIn that you can visit. And each set of activity is geared toward a different use in general. So, and I'll go through each one. But so beside the home section, the profile, contacts, groups, jobs, inbox, and answers, the applications one is a little bit deeper. So I know you probably have a hard time seeing it from the back of the room, but these are the other links that come off of the More link inside of their website. And it talks about companies, answers, direct ads, learning center, reading list by Amazon. Some of these, like tweets or Google presentation or WordPress, are actually applications. And I'll talk about those as well. I rely on a few of them, and I'll give you some examples. So the homepage, if you take a look at it, kind of looks familiar if you're a user of any of the other social networks, because they operate in sort of the same way. What you can find from the homepage is news and updates from the people that you're connected to, any messages you might have, invitations to connect, which is always a good thing because it grows your network, and which past colleagues and classmates have recently joined LinkedIn. I have found some, I used to be in broadcasting, and I have found a couple of old broadcasters that I used to work with through LinkedIn, as opposed to a lot of times people find friends from Facebook, but LinkedIn was a better source for me for that. And it also shows you who has viewed your profile, how your network's growing, and more. Click on that, who's viewed my profile, it says your profile's been viewed by 7 people in the last whatever days that was, and I've shown up in a search 26 times in the last 15 days. And so, if you're trying to network, if you're trying to build your own personal brand and you want to know who's thinking about you, that's really a powerful tool so that you can touch base with them if you know that they've looked you up. it's not really obvious when you look somebody up that they're going to know, but it's good to know that if somebody's looking you up, you can find out who that was through LinkedIn, if it's in the LinkedIn network, and then possibly go back and contact them if that is something that you would like to do. The other interesting thing, and I mentioned this earlier, is that if you look at the way that they're constructed, it looks and feels a little bit like Twitter, and it looks and feels a little bit like Facebook. It's not just because it's also a social network. It's how the folks, the owners and engineers at LinkedIn have evolved their service over time is to give it a familiar user interface for you so that it's easier to get it. When these services first started, they were finding their way and they were finding their audience, and people were discovering how to use the social network for the first time, and it's kind of settled into a pattern of a headline. If you comment, the comments come below it. If you click on something that is highlighted in a different color, you can do something like comment or like it. So the reason that LinkedIn looks like that is on purpose, and it's so that you feel a little bit more comfortable using it if you're already especially a Facebook, but a Facebook or a Twitter user. The next section is the most important, I guess, profile section. This is you. If you're a business owner, this is you, and then an extension of your business. You'll see that it's not intended that you're able to necessarily read all this from back there, but you'll see that this is a screenshot of my profile in LinkedIn. It shows what I've done lately. I uploaded a spot for a business I'm working with, a TV spot I uploaded to YouTube. It says what my current position is, what positions I've held in the past, links to my blog and corporate website, personal websites. And if someone is looking me, someone who already belongs to LinkedIn, because there's certain information that is shown to people who are past the login point that's a little bit more in depth. And they worked with me at another company, they might be able to spot it there. So it's a tool for you to use to not only talk about yourself, but to talk about where you've been so other people can find you, and to position yourself as your own brand name, whether it's as a company or just yourself, what about you might be interesting to other people in business. This text is really what the LinkedIn website says, so it'll look familiar if you go back. But this profile page enables you to connect and reconnect with people that are out there, but it represents your career accomplishments, and it opens a door to new opportunities. The reason I pointed out it was their content is because that's kind of salesmanly marketing content. People don't really speak about opening the door to new opportunities when they're describing something like that. But the opportunities, though, might be on one of two directions. It could be that you're an employer looking for a new hire, and you're going to use LinkedIn as a recruitment tool. And I understand, aren't you guys kind of looking at it that way? So you're presenting the opportunity. People are in LinkedIn specifically to find those kind of opportunities. And it also might be an opportunity to find that position. So people that are looking for work might list their profile a little bit differently, geared toward job finding, as opposed to an extension of their own personal brand, your professional identity online. And speaking of that, one of the really powerful things about LinkedIn is that it's built in such a way as to make you visible on the search engines. So if you go to Yahoo, for example, and you type in my name, about the fourth listing down will be Tom Anthony LinkedIn. And it not only shows you a picture, so in case you kind of know me, you'll see, oh, okay, that's the guy. It also has the first few sentences of my profile. And so on purpose, I've worded my profile in such a way as to put my best foot forward. You may find that as a recruitment tool, that it might be worded a little differently. It might be worded more toward the company that you're representing as opposed to your own personal background. But for me, since I am the brand of my company. I am the product. I made sure that the first few sentences, the first 100 words or whatever it is, represent what it is that whoever is in the search engine might be likely to use in terms of my experience. You can also do the same thing for Facebook, but Facebook has a layer of separation. It'll only see, if you're not already in Facebook, it'll only show you that it's a person in that town. So Facebook, despite what you might have heard in the news in the last couple of days about their security, does offer a little bit more protection. MySpace, nobody but kids on it, don't worry about it. And I have stats later on. And ShowAll would just be all the different references. But the fact that LinkedIn is up here, and even before Facebook, should be significant to you in terms of why it's important for you to know about LinkedIn and the kind of traffic that it's getting. Contacts. There's two ways to look at contacts in LinkedIn. One is your contacts. Hey, there's Chan Turner. We have you as a contact.
By the way, in case you haven't noticed it yet, on the sheets I go by Chandler, and he just called me Chan. That was my nickname all my life until I got in the business world, and I would introduce myself, and I would get Chance and Chad. So I just got sick of it. And I said, I'm going to use the real name. So either one would work.
Okay. Good point. Chandler and I, we were co-workers a long time ago now. We were both consultants for Goodman & Company's consulting business. And I guess that was before you changed your name. It was a long time ago now. But you can see this screenshot of the contacts page represents more than one thing. And it's a way to connect with people that aren't in your network yet, but you have in your address book. Let me explain that a little bit. Everybody uses Outlook, so you all have a contact section in Outlook. You can export your contacts from Outlook directly into LinkedIn. There's a couple of extra steps. You just have to save it as a certain kind of file, and that's pretty much it. But once they're in LinkedIn, then you can get to your contacts, phone numbers, and everything else through the interface of LinkedIn once you're logged into LinkedIn. But that doesn't mean you're connected to anybody. That just is your contacts. So you have a set of contacts that's everybody you know, and you actually already have their email address. You may or may not know them personally, but you have their email address. And then you have connections. And connections are people that are also a member of LinkedIn that you've sent a note to through LinkedIn asking their permission to be in your network. If they agree, and if they have to click on an email response, then they'll show up as connections, and it might say they're a colleague, it might say they're a partner, depending on how you classify them when you ask for them to come into your network. So the reason I point that out is because it's easy for you to click on your connections in your contacts area to see just a certain group, like classmates or colleagues from businesses, that kind of thing. It's also easy to send a message through LinkedIn without going through Outlook, and there's a couple of reasons you may want to do that. I just put this slide in there this morning and I forgot I had it in. This is an example of when you've ask someone permission to be part of your network through LinkedIn, you'll get back an email from LinkedIn that says, hey, you and Brian are now, or you and whoever are now connected. It'll also show you who Brian's connections are, or the person's connections are. And if you know any of those people, you can ask them to connect with you. So it's a nice way for you to be able to extend your own personal networking, whether it's just as yourself, or whether it's an extension of the business in terms of recruitment, so that you can have a wider net to cast when you are in the mode to recruit. The slide that I thought I was going to show you had an actual email of someone who I contacted through LinkedIn that I lost their email address. I still had them as a connection in LinkedIn, but the email address that I had for them changed. So I was able to send a message directly through LinkedIn to get that update. The next part of LinkedIn that I want to share with you is called Groups. I'll be honest with you, I don't use Groups that much. I'm part of the Technology Hampton Roads Group, Internet Business Development Group, Virginia E-Tailer Association Group, and I kind of monitor the activity there, but I don't really offer very much discussion because for me, it's another item on my list of networking that I just don't get to. I get to Twitter sometimes and I get to Facebook sometimes, but I don't get that deep. But I find it very interesting what's coming back to me, so I can just get updates from LinkedIn. And you'll get an email if you join a group whenever there's an update, if you opt in for that in the preferences. And it'll tell you what they're up to. So in the group section, you'll find discussions from people who are talking about the same kind of things that you're talking about if you select that kind of a group. And you'll also be able to see easily what they're talking about in maybe a little bit more of an expanded way. They may put a link in. Here's a invitation for the Hampton Technology Incubator's open house. And it's really a link that was put in there so that when you click on that, it takes you out of LinkedIn and it goes right to an event page that is asking you to sign up for that. So the way that I would use this is just in terms of your own business intelligence to understand what your industry is talking about. I think that you'll see that in groups, a lot of it is self-promotion, so you kind of have to filter that out. And that's another reason why I don't jump in there. It's just, you know, it's kind of like in the wind.
One question. On Facebook, you know, people can look at your wall and kind of see what everybody's posting.
Right.
Is this the same way if you join a group and you pull up my page?
Right.
Do you see everything that that group is discussing or only I will see it?
No, the group, yes. You can see everything that, if you pull up the group, you'll see everything the group is. But in Facebook, the difference between those two things is that you would have to be friends to see that information.
Right.
Here, you just have to be in LinkedIn. You just have to be logged in.
Oh, okay. So anybody can pull it up and see.
Right.
One of the other things that you might consider doing with groups, and if I'm getting ready to steal something you want to talk about,
yeah.
I'm sorry. And it's something that I do. Web designers love me. Because they don't, web designers don't do content at all, and that's my specialty is content and communications language. So not just joining something that's related to exactly what you do, but related to a market that you want to penetrate so that you can talk. So I've actually joined a group of web designers, even though I'm not a web designer, because most of the places that people make mistakes on websites is the content's awful. I don't pick any bones about that at all. I'd say 95% of the websites that are online have lousy content, and that's what I'm getting ready to get into in the second half of this.
And that's an excellent point. In fact, that's really a better explanation of why I'm a member of these groups than I just gave you. It's because I'm lurking is the word for it, but I'm just kind of paying attention to what they're
stalking.
Yeah,
we're not offended by that.
You would be if I was in your neighborhood. But also the other thing about joining a group is if you do want to take part, I have found that there's just a small handful of people who are really doing all the work. There might be a large number of members of the group, say 100, four people, six people doing all the posting.
No question.
So if you're interested in swaying something, all you'd have to do is jump in there and start posting something once, maybe a couple times a week. And now you're... to whoever's in that group, it appears as though you're like in charge of the group because your name's always up there. So that's another way of looking at the groups in terms of an opportunity. For me, it's just, again, it's just a step that I don't want to take because I have other things that are in my personal and business marketing plan that override that. So, but it's not a bad thing, and plenty of people do it. I'm just saying I don't do it personally. Jobs. Okay, so if you click on the jobs tab, it will show you jobs that are posted for descriptions that kind of match up with the wording of your profile. So in my case, I'm not looking for a job yet, but here's the kind of language that it sees in my profile. It put up internet marketing production assistant, vice president of marketing, president of a hospital in Minnesota. I don't know. Oh, a hotel in Minnesota. Vice president of marketing, internet and interactive staffing, business development manager. Those are kind of related to what I do, at least for the most part. So it already matches you up in terms of if you're the one that's in there looking, you kind of find, based on what's in your profile, a lead. The other thing about the job section is that you can search for jobs by a specific company, which may or may not even be advertising in the paper. There's something that's going on in media in general, and I came out of the broadcasting business, so I have a kind of deep perspective on media. The transition from print to digital is obvious in terms of news. Many more people get their news now from the internet, various sites, whether it's just the front page of Yahoo or Google News or your favorite television station. But more people do that now on a daily basis than watch the nightly news on the networks. And especially with people that are on the younger side of the demographic scale. They've grown up with this. They don't really care about Diane Sawyer, nor do they know who she is. So they get their news the way they get their news. And the transition of print to digital in terms of classifying is also taken a pretty big evolutionary step. There's a website that you may have heard about for the wrong reasons called Craigslist. And Craigslist is a free classified advertising website. And people have been putting questionable kinds of things in the personals in there. That's the reason you may have heard about them in the news. But other than that, most savvy marketers, especially real estate people, go to Craigslist to list houses for sale, places for rent. It's more than just people with garage sales. So it's a lot more than that, or the personals. So people are going to places like Craigslist, like Monster.com, like Career Central, which is part of the Virginian Pilot, to see the want ads. They're used to doing that as opposed to used to buying the Sunday paper and going through and finding ads that are relevant to them. So they're already, if they're a recruitment target for you, they're already there. They already have something written that's they can send to you. They already have a resume someplace. If they're in that market, they're already there digitally. So many companies who are in the recruitment mode no longer go to the newspaper because they know there are other places. Now, they may be in a paid service like Career Connection, which is also the newspaper, same company, but they may not and still have an opening. So people know that are of the younger demographic. They know where to look. LinkedIn's certainly a place that they're looking. They look all the time. So they can look by company. They can look by the date posted, which means is it a recent posting? Is it something old? As a recruiter, if you're looking for staff, you can post the information there in more than one way, depending on what kind of applicants you're looking for. So you can word it. It's easy enough to just have two or three versions of the ad and see which one's working better for the kind of applicant you want. And that's, I guess, true with the other online services, but with LinkedIn, it's mostly free. You can do a paid version of it that has a display, but it's mostly free. And then, in general, you can go in there and just kind of see what's going on. If you're neither in a recruitment mode nor a job seeker, you just kind of see what, get the pulse of what the job market's like. Maybe you're in a job that you're not really looking right now, but they pop in there. So that being the case, as a potential recruiter, you might be in there even if you don't have a job, just talking about kind of quality of life type positions. The inbox, kind of obvious. I actually showed the archive because I've answered all my mail, but that's just like the inbox in your Microsoft Outlook. You'll get an email too that says, "Hey, you got a message," but that's a place to go so you can go back and answer things that you haven't answered yet, or go back to your archive, which is what this is. The potential benefit of using LinkedIn as a second email client would be to separate out certain kinds of business. I'll go back to the recruiting end of it again. Probably have a business email address, but you can give only a certain address for the inbox that's related to recruiting, for example, so it doesn't clutter up your box, would be one way of using it. And it's the way that you communicate directly with your contacts. That could be a connection or not, but all of your contacts. If you have an email address, you can go through and use this. You can use it on your phone because they have an app for Palm. They have an app for iPhone. Their Droid app is in beta. I couldn't get it to work for me, but the BlackBerry works fine on the app that comes with LinkedIn. Here's the slide I was thinking of earlier. This is where I asked that guy for his current email address. Answers. This is a really interesting section. Answers is where you go, according to the LinkedIn description, to get fast, accurate answers from your network and other experts worldwide. Most of the questions I've seen in there are mostly subjective. So it's what's someone's opinion about your question. If you're actually looking for an answer, again, it's the internet, there's all kinds of good, there's all kinds of bad, but most of the answers are opinions. But it's a good way to get an idea about something that you're working on. It's also a great way to showcase your own expertise, and that's the way that I've used this before. I've gone in there and just looked at a few questions that were related to technology or social networking and thrown in an answer. The only reason I did that is to extend my own personal brand as an expert in that field. So it is a good way to kind of show off, in a sense, if you have time to do that. But it's also, there's interesting stuff in there. You get content overload because there's so many sources for information. But this is kind of geared toward business. So, I mean, it's worth looking at. The applications is actually quite a large section because they have 10 different things in there that you can do, and all of them are kind of interesting depending on how you use the internet. For example, for me, I don't really do a lot of work where I would collaborate with people. My business is a consultancy. I work with a couple of other businesses that are also consultancies, and we get together and sometimes work on a joint project, but we don't really collaborate on schedules and stuff like that where internal in the company you might. You can do that through an application in LinkedIn apps. Personally, I don't care what people that I know are reading. I just don't.
Actually, I found that kind of useful.
See?
Because people that are in sales and business-to-business sales, the books they're reading, the position the person's in.
Right.
Can kind of get it just because you don't want to Barnes and Noble, you've got 6,000 books on you, they've got the Holy Grail. But there are some good ones out there. So I mean, I just found that last week and went, cool.
And trust me, there are so many books out there. I've been in sales and marketing for 36 years. That's my forte. There's so much in Barnes and Noble and Borders that are garbage that were done 25 years ago.
That still
work on the premises that I learned when I was at Scott Paper Company in the 1970s.
No, so, for you guys, and it's that it is useful, it's just not to me.
I'm still trying, I'm fighting this, and I'm trying not to, because a lot of people use it. But, so, if I would have to go in my profile and say I'm reading this book, and then on that app, she would be able to see what book I'm reading?
If we were connected.
Right, if you were connected, right.
And I could see what you were reading and you could see what I'm reading.
But I have to go in and somewhere.
Yeah, just
I have
what,
to have that
what
application too.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, the reason you would do that or not do that is if you were paying attention to your profile
right. And
keeping it up to date, which would be the same thing as making an entry in Twitter or making an entry in Facebook, but in a professional way.
Sure.
So that if you're not into that groove of just posting little things like that, you're never going to do it.
Yeah,
but if you do it,
is why.
It's kind of interesting to see what other people are reading to see the position they are. And
right.
Yeah, I picked up 5 dysfunctions of a team as a recommendation from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, the one thing about LinkedIn is that people that are looking at this website is it's a business mentality.
Right.
So you're at least that filter, as opposed to what's a popular book.
Sure.
Because Bill O'Reilly's a popular book, it's not a business mentality.
No.
Or any other populist book like that that's not a business book is a number one Times New York Times bestseller, but not necessarily what you are.
Sure.
And then some of the other applications that are in there, and I do use some of them a lot, just these are happen to be some I don't use, is you can put in when you're traveling. And
people know where I am.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean, even if it was a business
that's
thing.
That's too stalker. I don't want
to
know. You got to worry about those things, you know?
But there are a few applications in there that let you show what you do or show a little bit more about you.
Which
automatically.
Are there?
I'll show you.
That's because one on her
side. I'll go back and press the right button.
It's kind of fun though.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the one I use the most is WordPress. Now, you don't have to have a blog hosted by yourself. I do have several blogs that I host myself. You can go right through WordPress for a free blog, and when you make a blog posting, it shows up in not only in your profile, but it also will be sent as information, an update on the people that are in your network that you've posted a blog entry. So every time I do a blog, and this one was with Chandler 38 days ago.
What do you blog about? What do you say about being...
With my blog is actually about a podcast that I do. Again, it harkens back to my days in broadcasting. It's like a radio interview show. I have all the equipment. I have a studio, so... I just talked to him on Skype, which is a application to use a telephone through your computer, more or less, and record it. I'll edit it, add a little theme music to it, and I put it on iTunes. It's surprisingly very heavily downloaded. I don't know what everybody's looking at, but this is the blog that's the companion to the podcast. So it has a link to the podcast file in it, the audio file in it, and it tells a little description of what it's about. That's the one I use. Now I have two other blogs that I do. One's a personal one and one's oriented. I'm also an amateur musician, so it's oriented toward the music that I write. But it doesn't belong in LinkedIn. You get there if you find my personal website, it'll be a link. But the one that I use is the podcast. And the other one that I use all the time is Twitter. Because... the people, and I have two separate groups in Twitter. One is everybody else before I did this, and just my LinkedIn connections, their Twitter accounts. When you join those two services, when you join LinkedIn and Twitter through an app that's available on LinkedIn, you can see everybody that's in your network that has a Twitter account and follow them. And they'll know that you're following them because when you start following somebody in Twitter, if you're not a user, you click follow. And they get a little notice saying, hey, somebody's following you on Twitter. So it's easy to see what your colleagues or the people that are in your network are up to if they use Twitter automatically. But also, when you make a posting, you're showing them. Because if you post something in Twitter, it posts to your LinkedIn profile. If you post something in LinkedIn, it posts as a tweet.
How do you post this so it doesn't become a social thing? Oh, I had dinner at Harry's.
I'm sitting on the porch.
I'll tell you, there's a particular guy, I won't name him.
It's all right. We all have those.
The person's not in this room, but is a local technology person that'll tell you he's, like you said, he usually has coffee and get dinner someplace else, and I don't care.
Having
dinner and it's an occasion, and I know him maybe, but he's like every single thing. You just have to tune that out or unfriend them or... stop following them or take them out of your network. It's just noise.
I have someone on my Facebook that now changes her picture at least 7 times a day. At least.
Wow.
I'm interested in psychology. You know, what is it with you that you're constantly changing?
You can unfriend them if you want.
Well, I can't really. They're my network. It's a little late now.
But it is noise. And I use an analogy, again, it goes back to the broadcasting. And I think of, and this is kind of broadening the topic from just LinkedIn to social networking in general. When I was in broadcasting, for most of my career, I was a broadcast journalist. But I was the morning news guy. So I would banter back and forth with the morning DJ. And so I was a personality, in other words. And but it centered around writing and being factual and not being totally a dope. Like the morning, various morning guys that I work with. But to me, when you're listening to the radio, or in my imagination, I guess, when you're listening to the radio, this broadcast stream coming at you, you may hear a commercial. You may not be listening right then, and you'll listen some other time, and you may hear a different commercial. Well, to me, the social networks, being part of the social networks, is like broadcasting, you broadcasting. If you throw a tweet up, it's like a commercial, because it's an impression. It's, and when I say impression, I mean it kind of specific to the advertising world. A gross impression just means you've heard something mentioned. Doesn't mean you agree with it or anything else. Just this, you passed a billboard. That's an impression. So if you're casting a net to have some kind of professional, I was going to use notoriety, but I don't think I mean that word. If you're casting it, you just want to get in front of people. You just want to have top of the mind awareness, meaning that your brand's in front of them. Well, then that's a really good way of doing it, because nobody reads every tweet, nobody reads every Facebook. If you're into that, you'll see that there's too much stuff there. Once you start following more than 20 people, it's too much stuff. You get on information overload, so you only skim the information that's coming at you in this stream. Your eye will catch something if you're interested in it, and maybe you'll, you know, comment or you'll like something. And this applies to LinkedIn, Twitter, and also to Facebook. If you are in the stream yourself, if you're throwing out things, people won't necessarily react to every single thing you throw out, but your name will be there, and your little picture that I'm going to change on mine pretty soon, because mine's too old. But,
mine too.
Well, I've got one, yeah. But the idea is that if you relax about the whole thing, and you just realize that it's a really big ocean of potential out there, and that you don't know who's looking at you at any given moment, and you are responsible about not putting stuff in that nobody cares about. One of the best ones in terms of posting something interesting to me is a lady named Lynn Harrisberger. And Lynn's a designer. She actually designs jewelry now, but when I first met her 20 years ago, she was in the advertising business, and she was like a print specialist, design, packaging, and advertising, print advertising. And she, almost every day, she'll post some article or a link to an article or, you know, something about her business, but it's nothing crazy, it's nothing outlandish, but it's consistent. She's always in front of them. She does it great. And it's never offensive, it's never stupid, or meaningless. At worst, it's something I'm not interested in, but it makes sense that she would have done it. So if you're going to be in the stream, if you're going to be broadcasting, if you're going to be out on the internet in a responsible, professional way, you really do need to be not only in LinkedIn, but also in Twitter, and also in Facebook, maybe with a separate account. I have two Facebook accounts. So that you're able to broadcast these random thoughts of yours.
Two things to consider. When do you broadcast it? What day of the week?
Not Monday.
Mondays and Fridays are a no-no. It should be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Quite frankly, usually Tuesday afternoon is the best time. It's most likely to be right at that time. And the other thing is, to build consistency with this is relatively important over time. You brought that up just a minute ago. I just can't get around to this. How many of you time block your schedule? Time block that. Take out a time on a Friday morning, Friday midday, right after lunch, Tuesday, whatever. That's the time that you want to update and send something. Again, the most effective day, The most effective day is Tuesday. When do I do it? I do it on Friday because it's the only time I've got. Send out a tip, send out some information, send out something that's worthy of a business person to take a look at. And it might not be related to what you do. It might have been something that you read at the dinner table the night before, and you should have been listening to your spouse, but you were reading a magazine instead. But it's just something interesting or something from the newspaper. If it makes sense to send it out to a business person, send it.
Now, Facebook and Twitter are not linked. Like, if I post something here, It doesn't show up on Facebook and vice versa.
Not on Facebook, but if you have the Twitter app, it would. So, in other words...
Yeah, I don't have that.
So, if you have a LinkedIn account, and you decide to, and you have a Twitter account, okay, and you decide to link the two...
They show up.
Yeah, then you wouldn't have to do both. You could just do one, which is what I do. And I didn't know Chandler was going to say that, but I do exactly the same thing. I do it on Friday afternoon because it's the only time I have. And it's not the best time, but it's the best time for me.
Yep.
Also, to amplify his point just a little bit, if you don't find anything that's interesting, don't send it. But take a half an hour, 40 minutes. It's good for you anyway. I don't know how many of you have read or listened to the... Habits of the Seven Habits.
I tried to read that book and I just kind of, I'm like, what?
Well, one of them
I'm
is.
I'm on the computer too, and that book just escapes me.
I listen to it, so it's
might
a little
be easier.
Easier
to listen to.
But one of the points in there is to sharpen the saw, and it's good advice that, you know, we are always focused on, most of us are always focused on the job at hand, and really to grow professionally or as a person. You do need to take just a little bit of time out and stop doing something for somebody else and do it for yourself. Besides maybe going to the gym intellectually, look around, see what you find interesting. Like Chandler said, that may not be into your particular industry, maybe particle physics or whatever. And then if it's interesting, post it. And the idea is over time, people of like minds will kind of gravitate together. So I don't have anything in common with Lynn Harrisberger's jewelry business, but I feel like we're kind of friendly because sometimes she comments on mine and sometimes I comment on hers, and you know, and over time that forms the kind of bond that they had in mind when they started the social networking thing.
When you say send it out, do you mean to your contact list here? Is that
just post it, and if you post it as what you're doing as part of your profile, which is like updating Twitter, once a week, or more frequently if they decide, but at least once a week, people get an email from LinkedIn that says what the folks in their network have been up to for that week. And it'll be in there. Unless the person has a lot of people in their network, you may get buried a little bit if you're only doing it infrequently. But it's not like sending a blast email. It's just kind of putting yourself out on the line, but in a professional way. And along those same lines, in turn, and I mentioned it briefly, but Facebook, the two accounts, my daughter's got my other Facebook account. My whole business network has got my other one. So if I want to really see what my daughter's up to, or I want to share pictures with her, I don't want to share them with my business network, necessarily. Some picture, I'll share one picture with you later. But so I have a professional Facebook account and a personal one. The personal one has just very close friends and family in it.
To follow up on what you said, I believe I said send it, you asked, I meant post it, would have been a
post it, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which then the rest of the infrastructure will send for you. Or push. All right, so what can you do with it? I've said this a few times because from my point of view, it's probably the most important thing because I am my brand. The actual name of my company, although I do business as IMS, the actual name of my company with the State Corporation Commission is TomAnthony.com Incorporated, because whatever I produce, that is my company. So for me, personal brand is also the product. That doesn't apply to everybody, but it does apply to me. So maybe I'm a little more focused on that aspect of LinkedIn than other people might be. But for me, it's very important to use LinkedIn and the other social networks to establish credibility and my expertise in the field. This is really the only way I have of doing it. I could advertise, but then where would they go if they clicked on something? So I mean, my profile on the internet is my business, so that's probably the most, the paramount issue for me is to extend my my position of expertise in social media and marketing on the internet, and if you like good music, you can go to my music site. But to stay in touch with colleagues and friends isn't a, necessarily a short-term business goal, but from again, from my point of view, and this is subjective, over time, you've worked several places, you've probably served with guys that come and go, and to stay in touch with people is just good for the spirit. It could be good professionally. I think it probably will be good professionally. But if you're going for the right reasons to just stay in touch with people that you've had contact with before, then you're using the social network the way it was designed. And I think that that will give you surprises and opportunities and laughs and not have a heavy price to pay because you're only releasing information that you choose. So you're out there, but you're out there in a kind of filtered way. And to find people of a like mind that have some ideas that maybe you can grow from, have conferences like this online, talk about things you're interested in, ask questions, grow. I think that LinkedIn is a really good way of doing that.
I'm going to throw a real monkey wrench into this. Pick a fight with somebody. You want to get better around it? Pick a fight. Find something on here. And you, it won't be very difficult to do, whether it's in your field or something that's very related to you, that's wrong. Just flat wrong. And pick a fight. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. You want notoriety? Pick a fight with somebody. I'll talk about that a little while later.
Except don't do it with an engineer.
Not unless you're another engineer.
They don't give up. Oh, my goodness. And explore opportunities, whether as a place that... is in a recruitment mode or is a personal goal to expand your horizons. Again, this is very subjective, but the best ways to use this, I kind of mentioned it just now, extend your professional network into your social network, your personal networks. Again, filtered, but communicate. Get out there. Say something. Say hello. Greet people. Link your Twitter and LinkedIn account. It's a cute graphic. I didn't do it. I can't take credit for it. That's actually from the LinkedIn account, LinkedIn page. But, you know, peanut butter and chocolate go well with you. Install and use LinkedIn Mobile. I have LinkedIn. I have Facebook. I don't really zero in on it, but it's just a clue as to what I'm going to look at when I get back to my regular email. You can delete it, you know. You can look at it sometimes. But you can see what's going on with people in your network and on your phone before you get back and see the email, if you feel like it.
Can you access all of LinkedIn through that?
Almost.
So, I try to find contacts for my clients.
You can, you know, you can. I don't know what kind of phone do you have.
I'm a BlackBerry.
Yeah, I just changed my BlackBerry software and got updated today, but
yeah.
So I haven't turned it back on. But yeah, it works pretty good at BlackBerry.
In the field, that's what would be.
Yeah, that, and there's also, we can maybe talk about that in questions and answers, a couple other ways that you can, I use Google Contacts to sync my Droid, it works really well. So, you do a blog, and I suggest you do a blog, use the blog app. If you tweet, and I suggest that you have a Twitter account, use the Twitter app. But the bottom line is, do something. Get out there and do something. At this point, you might be saying, you know, how important is it? Number one is Google. Number two is Facebook. Twitter is number 7. LinkedIn is number 15. That's pretty heavy hitting. MySpace. I'm surprised. This is from this morning. I'm surprised it's still that popular, but it's number 19. Plaxo, which I don't even know if you've heard of or not. I just put it out there because it was like the original LinkedIn, number 928. And it used to be a lot more popular than it is, but... people have stopped using Plaxo and they've gone really to LinkedIn. Plaxo, for those of you who don't know, was a way, it wasn't all the features of LinkedIn, but it was a way that you could get your contact list updated by your contacts as opposed to you contacting them and asking them for the information. So with that kind of traffic, the 15th most popular website in the United States, and I think within a few points of that in the world, It's definitely worth an investment in your time and energy to be Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. The rest of it, I don't know. But these are the top three social networks. With that, the wave of the future is now.
No, it's not. It's break time.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me tell you, after almost a full hour, I have to say how much I appreciate you hanging in there for the whole presentation. At least that's my portion of the seminar. I really hope that you got some information in there that you could use from that. Again, I appreciate you listening. Hey, listen, if you would, do us a favor and take a minute to just put in your review of the podcast in iTunes. The more reviews we get, the higher we get listed in iTunes, and the more people listen to the podcast, and so it's good for everybody. Anyway, I appreciate your listening. Please be sure to also visit the companion website to the podcast. It's at www.webstrategiespodcast.com. And thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for downloading or subscribing and listening to this episode of the Web Strategies Podcast. Send show comments and questions to info@webstrategiespodcast.com. You can subscribe to the Web Strategies Podcast on iTunes or on our show website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com.